Chapter 8. The morning after the full moon is quiet and lazy. Styles is too tired even to cook, which is okay because nobody is really hungry. They're lying around Derek's apartment, which is the closest to the warehouse where they spent the evening, drifting in and out of sleep. Isaac is particularly exhausted, although he had far more than enough mental willpower to sustain his consciousness throughout the night. The effort was strenuous. The others, especially Scott, had been more than a little surprised while they watched him sit there and maintain perfect control. Even Derek, for whom good control came so easily, had been impressed.
As they say on the internet, everything went better than expected, Styles remarks sleepily at the ceiling.
Derek agrees. He sprawled out on the cushions with his eyes closed. That's something else that Styles has noticed. The strength that comes from having increased their numbers. He can already feel it. He felt it last night while the moon was up. They're just a little faster, just a little stronger, a little more connected. Each pack member is like added pressure in a vice, driving them together.
Well, since this one went so well, obviously we should think about continuing to expand, he says.
Isaac opens one eye and makes a questioning noise despite himself.
It's not because you're not enough, Styles assures him. In fact, if anything, it's because adding you to the pack has been so awesome. We weren't sure how it would work out at first, but it works. We should keep doing it.
Scott half sits up, but then sags back down to the pillows.
Well, before Derek mentioned Isaac, I was going to suggest Erica Reyes, he says.
The epileptic girl? Lydia asks.
Yeah, Scott says. I know her a little from when I was in the hospital a few times. You know, the little kids, they don't care as much about separating by gender. So we shared a room once or twice in the winter when the hospital was really full. She seems really quiet, but actually she's got a real temper.
Which could be good or bad, Allison points out.
Scott shrugs a little.
Call it a hunch, but I have a feeling about her. The way Derek had a feeling about Isaac after meeting him.
Good enough for me, Styles says. But it might be a little hard to approach her, because she's so sick, I mean. She's pretty much never alone. I mean, we could talk to her during school, but we can't really say, hey, werewolves are real, and then shift to prove it in a public space. And you know that no one will believe it if someone can't shift to prove it. I mean, fucking werewolves!
We could approach her in the hospital, Derek says, the next time she gets admitted.
No, Lydia says. That is a terrible plan. Remember what Papa Stalinsky said about not approaching people when they're in a position that they can't say no? While she's in the hospital after suffering a seizure is one of those times.
Honestly, I don't know that it would make a difference, Scott says, since she's pretty much always sick. But maybe you and Allison can get her alone at school, in the girls' room or something.
Now, that is a great setting for this talk, Styles says with a snort of laughter.
When you come up with a better idea, Scott says.
Not really, Styles admits.
Then I nominate Lydia and Allison to break the werewolves are real news to her and invite her over for dinner, Scott says.
Lydia nods. We're on it.
Erica's pack introduction starts off a lot like Isaac's did, quiet and awkward. She says, hey, but barely looks at Scott, Allison, and Lydia. She only looks at Styles because he's the one who lets her in the door. She exchanges a little nod with Isaac because he's also another complete social outcast, or at least he was until recently. When Styles asks if she likes Chinese food, she just gives a little shrug and murmurs,
sure, whatever.
On the whole, Styles isn't really sure about her. Isaac was quiet, but it was still easy to get a sense of who he was underneath the quiet. Erica seems barely there. Like she only showed up because Lydia told her she had to,
and she's trying to work out some way to get the bite but not have to interact with any of these people. But Styles puts up with it because being sick sucks, and she's obviously had a pretty tough life. So they eat sesame chicken and fried rice and ginger broccoli that he's made, because he's been bored with Italian lately. Erica picks at her food and studies the table. Nobody seems quite sure what to make of her, and the conversation swirls and eddies around her as if she's a rock in a river. That's how she feels, too, like she's been tossed into the water, and it's going to close over her head any second now. She doesn't want to eat because she feels sick, and she can't tell whether it's nerves or an actual medical issue, but it doesn't really matter in the end. She doesn't belong here, with these confident, well-put-together people. Not when on most days it's all she can do to drag herself out of bed, make sure her clothes are clean and her hair is brushed. She can feel them all pretending that they aren't watching her, just like another school day, and she knows she's here to be judged as to whether or not she's worthy of their group and worthy of this thing that will take the seizures away. And she's failing. She knows that she's failing. Suddenly she's pissed off. It isn't fair. She doesn't know how to be pretty or put together or social. She isn't capable. She has two choices: to be a nervous, jittering wreck, or to have seizures. She doesn't appreciate being put through some stupid screening process. She thinks she should earn some sort of break simply because she hasn't fucking killed herself yet. But she wants to not be a wreck anymore, so she'll stay and try not to express her opinion. She grinds her teeth and stabs a piece of broccoli. "How's the shoulder, Sheriff Stilinski?" Isaac asks in a conversational lull. He grimaces a bit. "One more week of physical therapy," he says. "Then, theoretically, I'll be proclaimed cured by the miracle of modern medicine, as long as I never try to lift anything over 10 pounds with my left hand again."
"You must be glad to have it over with."
"Well, it beats the alternative," he says.
"Yeah, no offense to your mom, Scott, but if I never have to go to that hospital again, it'll be too soon," Style says.
Erica snorts before she can stop herself and mutters, "At least she has a sense of humor and apparently nice legs." All of the wolves present clearly heard every word that Erica said, but are too nice to point it out. Derek raises an eyebrow at Styles. Styles just grins back and says deliberately, "You probably know the hospital in and out, right, Erica?" Erica shrugs.
"I guess."
She doesn't speak very loudly. This isn't exactly her favorite topic. Sure, she knows it. From inpatient visits and emergency visits and testing and a whole slew of other things. But it isn't exactly dinner conversation. She tries to divert and maybe get a little of her own back.
"I'm sure Scott does too."
The smile that she gives them is tighter than socially acceptable. She shoves the broccoli into her mouth before she can screw up any more.
"Oh yeah,"
Styles says. "In fact, Scott was the one who said we might want to think about approaching you. I guess you were in the hospital together a few times, back when he still got sick all the time."
Everyone, even Derek, stares at Styles, who has basically made the least tactful comment ever.
Erica's eyes narrow and her gaze swings over to Scott.
"Imagine that," she says, her fingers white-knuckled around her fork.
Scott gives her a sheepish smile and wonders if he's going to end up wearing her dinner. He vividly remembers the time he and Erica shared a hospital room, and she had whipped her green jello at the obnoxious kid from the next room who wouldn't let them be.
Erica just wants to slam Styles' face into his plate. "Back when he got sick all the time. Her ass."
He's just rubbing her face in what she's pretty sure she's never going to have, because she can't keep a civil tongue or fit in.
"Not that I really enjoyed the hospital either," Styles says, his tone fairly bland, for all outward appearances oblivious to the rising tension in the room. "I wound up there a couple days last winter, and it pretty much sucked."
Scott seriously considers edging away from Erica and Styles. He knows he can't be the only one smelling the anger that was starting to build into rage rolling off of her. What he doesn't know is why Stiles is provoking her like this. Erica musters a smile in response to Stiles' comment. You should really try spending some more time there, then. Get to know the staff better. Figure out where the good DVD players are, who plays poker, and who's only good for Go Fish. Who will sneak in fast food, that kind of thing. It takes time and dedication. At this, Scott does edge away. Allison gives him a, what the hell does Stiles think he's doing? Look, and Scott gives a tiny shrug in reply. He knows that Erica has a personality, and that they're not seeing it. So Stiles presumably has a plan. He just wishes it was one that wasn't going to end in violence. Stiles might actually wind up spending time in the hospital at this rate. Everyone else is sensibly keeping their mouths shut. Not really my idea of a good time, Stiles says with a melodramatic sigh. Sheriff Stalinsky gives a visible wince. Erica's fork screeches across her place with deliberate harshness. The smile on her face clearly implies, fuck werewolves and their great hearing. It's a strangely pretty smile, in a sharp, cutting sort of way, that's at odds with her frizzy, unkept hair, bitten-down fingernails, and oversized, slouching t-shirt. What exactly is the point of this, you used-up douche nozzle? Because if it's to make me feel like shit, I could have achieved that without expending the effort to get out of bed today. Thanks. If it's to remind me of how much my life sucks, I take pills on a schedule for that. If it's to point out that I can't carry on a normal conversation to literally save my own life, well, shit, asshole. I knew that too, but thanks for the update. She slams back from the table and stands up, although she's a little wobbly. I'm leaving before we get to the floor show part of tonight's entertainment. Stiles' hands shoot up and surrender as soon as she really gets going, and he's perfectly serious now as he says, sorry, really sorry. I was being a shit on purpose. That's obvious. Nobody's that oblivious. But you were sitting there in your corner thinking that you didn't fit in, but you do. You're perfect. And nobody was going to know that because you were trying to pretend you were somewhere else. Someone else. And nobody here wants you to be someone else. Erica is just staring at him. Because really, who would expect a 180 like that? Then she pulls herself together. No, you don't. This is who I am. I'm a bitch. And I'm not sorry I was mean to you. You deserved it. She swallows. No one wants me around. They just think they do because, oh, poor Erica. No, seriously, Stiles says. If you will introduce me to more charming terms like used-up douche nozzle, I will marry you. This instant. My dad can officiate. He's the captain of the ship. Or, something like that. Erica looks over at Sheriff Stalinsky, then back at Stiles. What is wrong with you? Never mind. She squeezes her eyes shut and ran a hand back through her hair, part way before clenching it down into a fist. I'm going to go out on your porch and have some quiet time, because that's what I need right now. Someone come out in 10 minutes to make sure I haven't had a seizure and died. If I have, call someone to pick up my body. With that, she storms out of the room. The front door slams a minute later. Stiles watches the door for a second before saying, that could have gone better, maybe? Oh, I don't know, Scott says. You didn't wear any food. She's done that before. Thrown food, I mean. Derek resists the urge to rub his ears. That is one angry girl. Yeah, but she was just sitting there convincing herself she was all wrong, Stiles says. I had to do something. You're an idiot, Lydia informs him, almost fondly. At the risk of putting a damper on things by being the voice of reason, Stalinsky says, are you kids sure you want to be giving this sort of power to someone that angry? If she's really like that all the time? Scott nods and then shrugs. I kind of knew she was like that. It's hard to explain to someone who's basically healthy, but it's easy to be angry when your biggest enemy is your own body, because you can't escape it or defeat it or outsmart it. They all consider that in silence for a minute, before Lydia says, "But she wasn't angry when she came in. She was awkward and nervous and, okay, she was kind of resentful about having to be here at all instead of just, bam, you're a werewolf. She didn't actually get angry until Stiles started needling her to get a reaction. So I don't think she's angry all the time." Scott looks at all of them and bites his lip. You guys really couldn't tell? Couldn't smell it?" All he gets are blank looks. "She went outside because she was afraid she was going to have a seizure," Scott says. "I could smell it, the way she was just sort of waiting." He gives a little shrug. "I'm not saying we're wrong to not just turn her, but I'd be pissed and resentful too if someone dangled something that could cure something that was crippling me right in front of my face and then told me there were conditions I had to meet, especially if I thought I couldn't meet them or they were rigged against me." He looks down. "If I had been offered the bite, I probably would have said yes on the basis of fixing my asthma alone." He waves a hand and adds, "Peter notwithstanding." "Ah, shit." Stiles pushes back from the table and says, "I'll be back in 10 minutes or so. Don't worry if you feel me panicking." Scott grabs him by the arm. "Don't. Dude, she already hates my ass. I'm going to fix it." Stiles pulls free and goes down the hall. He pokes his head out of the door, sees Erica standing rigid by the porch railing. He lifts his hands in surrender as he steps out onto the porch next to her. She whirls and opens her mouth, prepared to let him have it with both barrels. But he quickly says, "I want to show you something." Her eyes narrow, but she heaves a sigh. "Sure, why not?" "It's gonna seem weird," he says, going down the front porch steps and into the garage. "Weirder than werewolves?" Erica asks dryly. "Or marriage proposals?" "Quite possibly, yeah." There's a door on the side of the garage that he goes through into the backyard. There's a little shed attached to the garage that holds some gardening implements, most of them somewhat rusty, the lawnmower, a rake or two. It's quite small, and with all the tools inside, it's very cramped. Stiles leads them both inside and shuts the door, leaving them in almost complete darkness. He can feel his heart pounding in his chest, sweat already starting on his palms and the back of his neck. "So, what's this? If you try anything, they will never find your dick," Erica says, the words spilling out, irritated, nervous, confused. "No," Stiles says, "I wouldn't do that. See?" His voice hitches a little. "I'm claustrophobic. Really, severely claustrophobic. I haven't been in this shed since I spent 2 days in the trunk of a car last winter." His nails are digging into his palms as he struggles to keep his voice even. Erica can hear the waver in his voice. "Then why are we here?" "Because I was a jerk," he says. "A real son of a bitch. It's your right to see this. I saw you scared. You're seeing me scared. Quid pro quo." "More like hearing. I can't see shit." She reaches out with both hands, aiming for the doorknob, with one and his arm with the other. "Jesus!" Stiles gasps as soon as her hand touches his arm, and he scrambles back, away from her. His back hits the wall of the shed, and he lets out a noise that can only be described as a whimper. "Oh, wow." Erica had planned to grab him, open the door, and drag him out, but it looked like she was going to have to reorder things. "I'm not this mean." She moves forward, towards where she knows the door to be. It takes a little fumbling, but she gets it open, and then turns to look for Stiles. He's huddled in the back corner of the shed, crouched down with his knees to his chest. He looks up when the light hits him and bolts for the exit, without having to be told. Once outside, he starts taking deep, shuddering breaths. Erica waits until he seems a little more steady. Okay, no more. I'll show you mine, you show me yours.
I've had dumber ideas.
Stiles sits down in the grass. But I at least had a bit of an ulterior motive. I wanted to see how you would react. She sits down too. She's damn tired.
Were you afraid I'd leave you there or something?
That or just watch me have a freak out and enjoy every minute of it? Stiles gives a little shrug. I would have deserved it after I kept poking at your tender spots like that.
There are limits, you know, Erica says. Mocking you for being claustrophobic might be fair, but leaving you to suffer? That's not cool. That'd be like leaving me to have a seizure without rolling me onto my side. Or not finding Scott an inhaler when he's actually turning blue. There are lines.
Exactly, Stiles says. And now I know you know that. He holds his hand out and says, so, assuming you want anything to do with any of us tonight, and keeping in mind that I'm the alpha of this pack, you're in.
They actually let you be in charge?
She reaches out to take his hand, but hesitates. Are the others okay with me? Because I don't want to be stared at or anything.
Erica, to be honest with you, everyone in this pack is damaged goods. You are no different from any of us. You belong with us, and everyone in the house knows it.
And this will really fix my seizures? She sounds desperate.
I can't give you a 100% guarantee,
Stiles replies. But Derek thinks it will, and he knows way more about it than I do.
Okay, then let me talk to him,
she smiles, and this time it's a little softer.
And thanks.
Sorry about earlier, he says. He has to brace himself against the wall of the shed to push himself to his feet, then offers her a hand up. No hard feelings?
I'm never telling you where the good DVD players are if you end up in the hospital again, she says. I just want to make that clear.
She takes his hand and nearly has to crawl up him to get to her feet.
Well, now I have hard feelings, Stiles mutters.
Shifting slightly, he clears his throat and says,
okay, you still need to get the lecture on why this is a terrible idea. My dad insists we deliver it to every new recruit.
She leans her shoulder onto the shed wall next to him, resting.
Will I stop being tired all the time?
I hope so, he says.
Then I don't think there's anything you can say that will make it sound like a bad idea.
He bumps shoulders with her.
Even the fact that I'm in charge?
Yeah, she snorts in amusement.
You have to do a lot more than that to take the number one spot on my asshole list.
Come on, then. Let's go finish our dinner. And try opening your mouth on occasion to do something besides yell at me. Nobody's gonna care if you're awkward. Seriously? Scott owns over 100 Star Wars novels. Isaac used to dig graves. Allison still cries at Dumbo and Bambi. Lydia spent 16 years pretending to be a Vacus twit. I take too much Adderall and write research papers for fun. And Derek? My first conversation with him was 4 words long. This is private property. Then he just glared at me and walked off. None of us are what you would consider well-adjusted. I'm required by my dad's law to tell you that all this werewolf shit could actually kill you. I mean, there are werewolf hunters and shit.
Erica gives another shrug. I could die tomorrow if I have a seizure in my sleep and suffocate on my pillow. Or if I have a seizure at the top of the stairs and break my neck. Or when I finally get sick of it all and overdose on my pills. Don't even talk to me about how many times I've been tempted. Death isn't really something that scares me.
Great, Stiles says. Lecture over. Let's go back in. A few days later, Erica lies half-rolled onto her side in her hospital bed. She's facing away from the door, staring out the window through the guardrail on her bed. But there isn't a lot to see from this angle. The rails are up in case she has another seizure, because the one that had landed her here was one too many for her parents and her doctors. Now they wanted more lab work and imaging studies and other things she didn't give a shit about, because soon she was going to be a fucking werewolf. And they didn't have epilepsy. But she can't really think of a way to explain that to people, so she's stuck in the hospital. Well, that and she feels like utter crap, pulled at least 3 muscles, and is flat out exhausted. She rather enjoys the drugs she gets by IV, so she supposes that she shouldn't bitch too much. There's also the small mercy that this seizure had hit before school, so she got the appalling floor show done on the kitchen floor, rather than, say, economics class. She snuggles down into her pillow a bit more and lets her eyes fall shut, wondering if the pack will notice she's not around at lunch or even miss her. She dozes for a little while and puts up with a nurse coming in to draw blood and the doctor having a serious conversation with her mother, and then dozes a little more. She wakes up to a hushed voice saying, "Come on, don't wake her. I'm not the one who bumped into the bed," another voice hisses. "Cut it out, guys," someone whispers. "The nurse didn't want to let us all in. If we make a ruckus, they'll throw us out." The chatter eventually starts to rouse her, and she has the vague idea that maybe some patient has been moved in to share her room while she slept, and they have visitors. She hunches up a shoulder around her exposed ear to try to block the noise, thinking that maybe she'll throw something at them. But then again, maybe not. Her shoulder unhunches. She has some great muscle relaxants on board right now. She sighs and flops onto her back, opening her eyes. "Hey, you!" Stiles' face swarms into her somewhat blurry field of vision. "Sorry, did we wake you?" Erica blinks owlishly, then rubs at her eyes. "Stiles?" Her voice conveys complete confusion. "Hi," Stiles says. "How are you feeling? Scott's mom said you'd be pretty doped up. How many drugs did they need to give you before you'll start thinking I'm pretty?" "Hi." She turns this statement over in her head and replies, "What are you all doing here?" With a baffled look. "Hey, didn't you say that I needed to spend more time in the hospital?" Stiles asks jokingly, and then adds, "We're visiting you, naturally." "We?" She tries to sit up, startled, and fails, then uses the controls on the bed. The pillow falls on her face. She hugs it to herself and looks around at everyone. Allison giving her the same smile she always wears, that manages to be kind without pitying. Lydia, as immaculately put together as always, checking her lipstick in a little compact mirror. Isaac, a little more hesitant than the others, hanging in the background. Scott, trying not to laugh because he's familiar with the pitfalls of hospital beds. And Stiles, right by her bed, wearing that grin that she sometimes wants to smack off his face. "How did you guys know I was here?" she asks. She still feels slow and tired, but her head is clearing some. "My mom called us," Scott volunteers. "She knows about the pack stuff, so she figured we'd want to come visit." "Andy." She shifts a little, awkward. "I've never had any visitors before, so fuck if I know what we're supposed to do now." "Gossip like old ladies," Scott says, grinning at her. He lowers one of the guardrails and climbs onto the foot of Erica's bed, sitting down there and using the other rail as a backrest. She decides that she doesn't mind. She isn't tall enough to need the whole bed, and there aren't enough places to sit. Besides, Scott's all comfortable in this room with her, on the bed with her. Stiles looks like he's right at home, too. They've been here before, many times. "Oh, I can do that!" Allison claps her hands together. "Danny told me that Jackson told him that he's going to bring a college girl to the spring fling dance. He clearly thinks we should all be very impressed by this." Scott gives Allison a wide-eyed look. He's impressed, but it looks like it's with horror. Erica curls around her pillow, squashing it beneath her chin. How much do you think he's paying her?
God, he probably thinks it's more impressive if he's paying her, Styles says, rolling his eyes.
Look how expensive a hooker I can get for prom.
He adds, and winces.
Sorry, Lydia.
Lydia just gives an, it's all right, wave of her hand.
God, he's such a spooge, Erica mutters. Seriously.
Allison hears this and lets out a little giggle. Then she says, Spring Fling is a week after the new moon, so are you going to go or what?
Me? Are you crazy? Have you even looked at me?
Erica ineffectually paws at her hair, which is in even more disarray than usual. This makes the bitten nails easy to see, and right now she's obviously underweight and has dark circles under her eyes.
Yeah, but man, did you see who I got stuck with taking to the winter formal?
Styles asks with exaggerated dismay. Lydia looks up and narrows her eyes at him.
Kidding! Seriously, kidding!
I'll fight you for her, Isaac says to him.
Bring it on, tough guy,
Styles says, holding his hands up in the position for traditional fisticuffs. Erica laughs a little at the sheer ridiculousness of their behavior. And then whoever wins can go find someone who isn't a disaster.
All aboard the Titanic, that's this pack,
Styles agrees comfortably, reaching out to twine his fingers through hers. Erica looks down at their hands.
You're serious, she says incredulously. Styles, I dress with less care than you.
Okay, he says.
Isaac and I will share you.
He looks at Isaac. Fair?
Fair,
Isaac agrees. Lydia is giving Erica a discerning look.
I think that earth tones would really look good on you. Dark brown, maybe. Or dark green. Then again, you can't go wrong with basic black. But we don't want anyone to think that you're mourning your choice of dates.
Mourning their sanity? Fuck yes! Erica shakes her head a little, then wishes she hadn't, because it makes her dizzy. She has to sit there with her head tilted up to look at the ceiling before it passes.
Maybe I really hit my head this time and I'm hallucinating or something.
Isaac walks a little closer and leans against the nightstand.
I thought that at first, too, he says.
I spent the first week in the pack terrified of breathing, like somehow they would discover I was there and realize what a mistake they had made. Erica looks over at him, solemn, her grip on Styles' hand not letting up, like she's afraid it'll disappear.
Yeah?
Yeah, Isaac says. But it's real, Erica. This is real. She lets her head fall back against the bed.
So I should stop freaking out?
You should, Isaac says. You won't, but you should. You'll get used to it, though. Just wait until you get out of the hospital, and you get to attend your first wolf slumber party. Erica grins at first, but then her face falls.
I'm not allowed to stay over at other people's houses, because, you know.
She makes an uncoordinated flailing gesture that encompasses herself, the IV drip, and the room in general. Scott jumps in.
We can have it at my house on a night when my mom isn't working. That way there'll be a trained ER nurse in the room next door.
That actually might work, Erica says. Cool, Styles says. You might want to think about what you want to tell your parents, though. Because the sleepovers, they happen a little more than you might expect.
Like, every night.
Erica's eyebrows scrunch up for a minute.
Every night?
Every night, Scott confirms, rubbing at the back of his head.
It gets lonely otherwise, and there's this semi-desperate urge to find the rest of the pack if you wake up alone.
Allison pipes in with, Sometimes we do mini-sleepovers, though, just you and one other person. Scott brightens visibly.
Speaking of sleeping with others,
he looks around, trying to remember where he dropped his bag, and sees it next to Styles' chair. He leans forward and makes little gimme motions with his fingers.
Dude, worst come-on ever. Styles tells him, handing over the bag. Scott grins at him. I just wanted to see what you'd do with it. I have to say, I'm a little disappointed, given how large a target I gave you. Styles looks at Erica and says, Isn't it cute the way he tries to convince me he gave me that opening on purpose? Adorable, she replies. But your performance was still lacking, she adds with a wicked smirk. Oh, so I should have made a joke about who gets to sleep with you first? Why the hell not? Erica asks. I'll put it on my to-do list. Scott, meanwhile, has been pulling a plush turtle out of his backpack. It's one that's been made to look at least semi-realistic, rather than goofy, which has resulted in its face being caught in a perpetual scowl. He ties a bow around its neck, which only makes it look more incensed with the world, and holds it out to Erica. There's a chorus of giggles from Lydia and Allison. Styles is biting his lip to keep from laughing. Isaac just frowns at the turtle in puzzlement, like he's not sure why, out of all the stuffed animals in the world, Scott picked that one. Erica slowly reaches out to take it, a little confused. You got me a stuffed animal? Yeah, Scott replies cheerfully. Why? It's not like I'm 6 years old anymore. But she's holding it now and peering down at it, into its angry little face. It's just big enough to hug, but small enough that it won't be in the way. Because they make you feel better at 3 a.m. when you're stuck here and the nurses are telling you that you should be asleep and you want to tell them to blow it out their ass. Erica considers this answer and finds it acceptable. He's angry. Now she grins. I like it, she decides, and sets the turtle down in her lap, facing outwards. Allison leans against Scott, wrapping an arm around his waist. Not in a possessive, jealous sort of way, just in a my boyfriend is unbelievably sweet sort of way. He tilts his head over his shoulder and smiles at her. They share a quick kiss. Then Styles says, Oh, I brought you your homework, but I may have accidentally done it already. You did my homework? Erica says. You were asleep. I was bored, Styles protests. I meant to do mine, but then realized I'd gotten our assignment switched. I don't believe you, Erica says. Neither do we, Scott says cheerfully. Styles' cheeks turn a little pink, and he says, Well, what? I was trying to do something nice. Screw you all. Erica blushes a little too, looking down at her lap and the turtle. Thanks. No one's ever done that for me before. Oh my god, you two, Scott says. Get a room. Styles throws a pencil at him. It's homework, not porn, you freak, Erica says, kicking at him. Although not very hard. I don't know, Lydia says. When Styles starts writing papers, you never know how things are going to wind up. You really just write random research papers? Erica says. What's the weirdest thing you've ever written about? Styles nearly chokes on his own spit. You can't ask me that, he protests. I mean, this year alone, I wrote a paper about why Teddy Roosevelt was the most badass president, about the jumping Frenchman of Maine, that woman who fell in love with the Eiffel Tower, and why the star of every romantic comedy produced in the last 10 years would be in jail if those movies happened in real life. The who to the what now? Erica asks. Which one of those are you asking for clarification on? Styles replies. The Frenchman and the Eiffel Tower, she decides. Styles clears his throat. Oh boy, here we go, Isaac says with a sigh. Styles flips him off. The jumping Frenchman of Maine is a neurological disorder, kind of like if Tourette's met hypnotic suggestion. They have a really bad startle reflex, and sometimes they'll jump or yell or randomly smack people. Also, if you tell them to do something in a really short, sudden sort of way, they'll do it. Like, they'll throw knives at people. It's pretty cool. Anyway, it was first found in the French Canadians doing logging in Maine, thus the name. As for the woman who fell in love with the Eiffel Tower, Stiles grinned suddenly, actually, her name was Erica. That's awesome! The Frenchman thing, I mean, Erica says, not the me sharing a name with a Jerry Springer episode thing. Hey, give the lady credit, Stiles says. She's not some one-night stand. She married the Eiffel Tower. That's her name, Erica Eiffel. Are you for real? Erica tries to cross her arms, but then remembers the IV. Instead, she grabs the turtle and holds its cranky face up to Stiles' nose. No lying. It makes the turtle angry. Angrier. Stiles laughs and bats the turtle aside. Hand to God, she has object sexuality, which is like anthropomorphizing to the nth degree. It's like living inside a Disney universe. Everything has a soul and its own personality and shit like that. She fell in love with the Eiffel Tower and married it in 2007. I'm not making this up. You can Google it. And done, Lydia says. Totally the truth. Yeah, but what crackpot lets a woman marry a landmark? Erica asks. I don't think she asked permission, Stiles says with a shrug. Okay then, Erica says. Werewolves are sounding less crazy by the minute.